Don't you appreciate that singing? Hallelujah. I've been changed. Bless his name. Amen. Bless his name. Amen. He has changed my eternal destiny. I bless him and I thank him this morning. It's come time for our third message. I'm going to ask Brother Jerry Stein. He pastors Solid Rock Baptist Church. And this is special for him. That was his grandson that just preached. And he's going to preach with his grandson at camp meeting. The first time he's ever preached at camp meeting, his grandson. Brother Jerry's no stranger to camp meeting. I appreciate their church. They took camp meeting on as a mission, a home mission. Send a monthly check every month. And I appreciate their support of camp meeting. You come and preach to us about 20 minutes. They'll run the light for you. Amen.
All right. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Thank you so much for the privilege to preach here today. I'm kind of an honor to be able to preach with my grandson. I love my kids, but oh, I truly love my grandkids. I love my kids a lot, but I just tell you, my grandkids, he's the oldest of our four grandchildren, and my associate sitting behind me, after Elijah got done, he said, you know, boy, I sure hate to preach next. Just thanks, such encouragement, amen. And after that song, thank you, gentlemen, for the privilege to be here today. Let me just say this quickly. If you don't support, if your church doesn't support this meeting, you need to consider that. This meeting is more than just us coming for 2 weeks. It is where we can get refreshed, we can get help, we can get something that you don't get anywhere else. And it costs a lot of money to put this thing on. If you've done anything at your church at all, you know the expense of it. Now, I can't even measure up to any of these men around here, but I can help pay for it. And we ought to do that. You ought to make it a point. For the next generation, praise the Lord, we need meetings like this. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? With the help of God, I want to preach. In the dark, tell me again. In the dark, tell me again. We didn't plan it this way. I had no idea what Elijah was going to preach, and certainly he didn't know what I was going to preach. But he brought you a message from a young preacher. I want to bring you a message from an old preacher. I won't say as much as he does. It just takes me longer to say it. And today, in the dark, tell me again. Heavenly Father, bless now the reading of your word for just these few moments. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. What a man of God John the Baptist was. Come on the scene like a thunderbolt. Bible says in Matthew 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. My, what a preacher he was. I mean, he didn't back up for anyone. That's what got him in trouble, but he didn't back up for anyone. And he came preaching. By the way, I still like preaching. I still praise God. Well, the singing was wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. The Bible said through the foolishness, not foolish preaching, the foolishness of preaching, he chooses to save. But we find this older man of God in a very dark place. And may I just say, if you serve God any length of time, you're going to find yourself in a dark place. Nobody asks for dark places. Nobody wants a place of discouragement or despair or even doubt. But they're going to come. They're going to come in our lives. Well, I appreciate the testimony of this young preacher and his son. I remember a day that one of our grandchildren was in Baptist and just 9 months old, and they were taking out his kidney for cancer. And oh, what a dark place that was. I remember bowing in an altar and just saying, God, this little boy is yours if you choose to take him or if you choose to heal him. And I had to turn that little fella loose and say, God, just use him. And they said he would stunt his growth, but you just heard him preach. And I don't believe his growth got too stunted, amen. If you don't believe that, you ought to try feeding him for a while anyway. But that young man, and I believe in that day was a very dark place. And I remember on Tuesday night, we drove from Baptist, and we come, and camp meeting was going on. And I told Darlene, we just got to get to camp meeting tonight. And we were physically exhausted and mentally. And Tom Gillen preached that at Tuesday night. And I couldn't tell you what he preached, but I can tell you this, the Lord told me again, he's in charge. We find here in this passage, listen to me, notice the path begins with seeking. Now, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he said to his disciples, and he said to him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? We saw John in the light. He knew who he was. John 1:29, and the next day John said, Jesus come unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. John 1:3, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. He knew who he was. The day Jesus came to him and said, John, I want you to baptize me. He said, Lord, I'm not even worthy to loose your shoes. He knew who he was. The day they came and said, hey, man, what's your name? He said, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. He said, I must decrease, but he must increase. He knew who he was. But he finds himself in a place, in a prison, and all of a sudden, he's wondering, who is he? And he sent his disciples to say, would you go find out if he's the one? Is it really him? Could I get my water a little early without a fee? Amen. I sure appreciate that. Thank you very much. Reaching up here, get you dry. And found himself in a prison. May I say here tonight, you don't have to be behind bars to be in a prison. Some of you may be here today and you're in a prison. You're in that place where you don't know which way to go and you're in the darkness. Let me say this, he's in prison, not only in prison, but his perception. Notice what he said. And he was looking and heard about the works of Christ, and he's confused. He's not sure about what's going on. See, he came preaching, repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but Jesus came preaching grace and forgiveness. John's message was fourfold. Flee the wrath to come. Judgment, if you will. Praise God. He said, repent. Literally, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. By the way, I still believe in that. Amen. Heritage, he said, is no value. He said, you can't trust your daddy and your mama and your religious things to get you in. You will not trust that mess. And he preached, judgment is at hand. I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he that cometh to me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. Disciples are coming. They said, well, what's Jesus preaching? Well, he's preaching grace and forgiveness. He's a friend of sinners. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's still a friend of sinners. I said, John said, man, I just don't know about this. And I don't understand. Can I help you? There's a whole lot of times I just don't understand what God is doing. As a matter of fact, there's few times that I really can understand why and how he does something. But he just does it. He heard how Jesus put a tax collector, put him on the deacon board. Man, that's crazy. And his perception of who the Lord was. See, his sermon title, John the Baptist's sermon title, be Turn and Burn. The Lord's sermon title was Forgive and Grace. Amen. My. And so he's puzzled with his perception. Let me help you this morning. If you're going to try to figure out God, you're going to get yourself in a mess. I do something. I know I'm probably not the only one, but I do it. I do my share of it. I am bad to pray for something, and before I get up, I've done figured out how God ought to do it. And what's amazing to me, he rarely takes what I think and uses it whatsoever. But when he does do it, I look up and say, well, praise God, what a wonderful way to do it. Because he always does it well. And notice as he come, he said, Jesus art thou the one. Now praise God for this. He was seeking the right person and the right place. Boy, in the darkness, it's not the time to quit on God. It's not the time to quit praying. It's not the time to throw in the towel. In the darkness, it's time to fall on your face and say, are you still there? Are you still the one? Are you still there? Are you still for me? Well, I've seen times in the days gone by when, boy, in that place of pastoring and you just feel like you're in a prison and can't get nothing going, nothing's happening, and oh, run to God. Praise God. He knew who to ask and who to go to in his darkness. Notice not only the seeking, but notice the Savior. Jesus, John wants to know, are you the one? John wants to know, are you the one? Or should we look for another? Now, I know if you're like, think I do. Well, bless God, what's wrong with John thinking like that? I just need to get him straightened out and jerk him up. But the Savior said, go and show John again. Those things. You know what he's saying? Go tell John again. See in the darkness, tell me again. Listen to what he said. Jesus, again, those things which you do hear and see. He said, go tell him the blind are getting their sight. Amen. Now, you say, why that? Because he's the only one that can take blinded eyes and give sight to. Bless God, when you was in blind in your sin, we had a man that was, he's steeped in an outfit. He was blind. Boy, just a couple weeks ago, God opened his eyes. He got to see. He's been in the house of God ever since. May I say, only God can open blinded eyes. Go tell John, the blind are seeing. He said, go tell John the deaf are hearing. Why that? Well, because Jesus is the only one can take a deaf man and give him back his hearing. May I remind you this morning in the darkness, you can be saved by the grace of God, doing the very best you can, but all of a sudden, your hearing gets dull, your sight gets dark, and you need one more time for God to say, tell me again. I love this. He didn't tell him something new. I appreciate with all my heart what I hear in camp meeting that's brand new. I heard the other day that young man preaching, and my goodness, said God did that miracle for the disciples and not the multitude. And I said, well, praise God, I'd never seen that. But let me just say this. I walked on these grounds more times than not in the darkness. I didn't need something new. I just need to know God was still for me. I need to know he still loved this church and loved me, and I was in the right place. And I just need to know that. I just needed to know that. I didn't need something new. I just need to be told again. That's what camp means about. Blind receive their sight. The lame are walking. Why the lame are walking? Because he's the only one. He's the only one that can take a lame man and give him back his strength to walk. That man by the pool of Bethesda said all those years and nobody could help him but Jesus. He said, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised up. Nobody else can do that. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus didn't criticize John for a lack of faith. He didn't criticize John's confusion. Can I help you? I'm an old man. I'm getting to be an old man. I'm not old yet. I'm just getting there. I don't have as many ahead of me as God behind me. I'll tell you this much. Let's be careful that we don't pull down these young preachers. Amen. We ought to be lift them up. Yeah. Brother Steve, we'll text on Sunday morning, and I'm going to tell you, some Sunday mornings, he's been the most blessed. He encourages me. We find that Jesus didn't criticize John's confusion. He didn't criticize John's fear. Jesus doesn't fear the question because he's got the answer. And Jesus says to John, he said, John, son, you're just focused on the wrong thing. Have you ever got hung up on the wrong thing and totally missed the right thing? Oh, I got to hurry, seeking his Savior. And then last of all, and blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. That word offended means to trip up. Means to be tripped up. What he was saying, John, happy is the man that doesn't stumble over me. Amen. Don't stumble over Jesus in the midst of darkness. Amen. Why would he stumble? Because he doesn't meet your expectation. Last I checked, he does not have to meet any of my expectations. He doesn't have to do it my way. He's going to do it his way. May I say, John said, I want you to become one of the blessed. Don't be offended. And then at the end, and when the messenger of John was departed and began speaking to the people, John, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with wind? Said, what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? What did you go to see? A wimp or a pansy? Didn't he say nothing? He said, why don't you have to see a prophet? Yea, I send you much more a prophet. This is whom is written. Behold, I send you a messenger before my face, who's prepared the way before me. And I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. In the darkness, tell me again.